Hello, and welcome to the greatest podcast in the history of the universe.
Yeah, this is Ellie.
This is Jim, and this is Hallmark's The Spot.
Woohoo! And we're here to talk about some crazy Christmas movies.
Yes, the continuation of the countdown to Christmas.
That's right, from the Halloween weekend.
Yeah, so we had a little vacation in between the last episode and this one.
So we're completely behind on our Christmas movie watching.
But we will catch up eventually.
We will. Especially since there's going to be like one new movie a night this week.
There's gonna, oh yeah, because roll into Thanksgiving. Yeah. They just crank them out. They just open up the fire hose.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know how we're going to catch up. I was like, we can catch up because it's a long weekend. And then I'm like, but there's seven new movies to watch.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's our problem, not yours. We'll work it out. We're professionals. Yes. Well, amateur professionals. Yes,
we're professionals. We'll rise above it.
That's right. So
if you want to contact us,
you should email us at marksthespotmail@gmail.com.
I went through every email address from the other shows in my head before I got to that one.
Right. This is a podcast on the Damn Junior Podcasting Network, and you could check out this podcast and others in that network at
damshow.co, damshow.co, not .com. .co.com will take you to a site where they play shows in front of and on a dam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I know. They'll project movies on the dam, or they'll have like concerts in front of the dam.
Wow. Where's the dam?
I forget what state it's in.
Okay. Gonna have to check that out.
Yes. And so at damshow.co, you can find our other fine podcast.
That's why I already said that.
Yes.
Okay. Pay attention, sir.
Your question about where's that dam?
The actual damn show. And not Destroy All Movies. Yeah. So that's cool. What, are you going to look it up now?
I'm typing it in as we speak.
Okay.
So what are we doing on this? What specific movies are we doing?
We're doing Christmas in Harmony, Coyote Creek Christmas, and Christmas Sale. So those were the three, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday of the Halloween weekend.
Right.
Right. So.
All righty. So, well, let's get roll started. Into which one was the first one?
I don't know. I think Coyote Creek Christmas may have been the Friday night.
I think you're right.
I know Christmas Sale was the last one. It was Sunday.
Right. So we'll go in that order. We'll go Coyote Creek Christmas, Christmas in Harmony, and then do Christmas Sale.
Okay.
Coyote Creek Christmas.
Woohoo.
Woohoo.
With the thinker.
With the thinker. What's his name again?
I don't know. I'm hoping that you're looking at the synopsis.
I'm looking at it now. Ryan Pavey.
Right.
As Dylan. Mm-hmm. And Janelle Parrish as Paige.
Right.
And
what's the name of the kid?
I don't know if they put him in the cast here. No, he's not in the cast list. It's just those two. I'll look it up as we go along. Thank you, puppy.
The dog hit the mic. The dog. He's on my lap and looking for love. So he hit the mic.
While throwing a Christmas around the world party at her family's inn, an event planner discovers Christmas magic with charming father-son duo whose presence brings about tension and joy. That's the synopsis.
Oh, that's
it. It's a terrible synopsis.
Oh my gosh. As usual. Okay. Yeah. Not a lot to go on there.
So we have Janelle Parrish in one of Hallmark's signature jobs.
That's right. Event planner. That's event right. Event
planner.
And in one of Hallmark's signature locations, that that club or whatever.
Yeah. Basically the Mistletoe Inn.
What's his face's house? That author's house.
Yeah, the author's house in that one with Joy Bethany Joy
Lenz. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we don't have to name all the things. I'm saying we'll just call it the mistletoe one. Yeah,
they've used it a lot.
They've used it a lot. But yeah, it was in the, because it was in the time for us to come home for Christmas last year. That's where that was.
Yeah.
So anyway, so it's been in a lot. So you will recognize the vaulted ceilings, like the barrel vaulted ceilings, the hanging
chandelier
with the balls
on it.
Yeah. So they do what they can to make it a little different. Like
the,
this time
the
they
door
put
with the three, the four glass panels.
Right. Right. Exactly. They put the rugs down this time to make it seem a little different. But basically, Paige is working her way up the corporate ladder in Denver, I think.
Yeah.
The big city. And she's going to go home for Christmas. It's a big deal for her to go home for Christmas. And meanwhile, Dylan and his brother are looking to purchase the Coyote Creek Inn or whatever it's called. And the brothers all kinds of, we got to do this. We got to show them we're more than just acquisitions. We got to, do you know what I mean? He's like pushing from afar,
right?
Always. Mm-hmm. And then Dylan gets there and talks to the parents. And they're just like, they just want to travel. They just want to go. They want to retire. It's time for someone else.
For a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time for someone else to take over.
Right.
So they don't tell Paige what's going on. And they ask Dylan to keep the secret.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, he and his son are spend a lot of time with Paige. And they're getting cozy. And she's telling them all the quaint little stories about Coyote Creek, about the marmot. Charlotte the Marmot is their mascot, and they have all these traditions. And if you find Charlotte, you have to put a piece of clothing on it and then re-hide it, and you're like part of the thing. Or people leave gifts on porches, etc.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, very charming.
Very charming stuff. So meanwhile, she's like, the parents aren't planning anything, and she's like, why aren't you planning anything?
Right.
And so at being an event planner, of course, she goes home to do her job and says, okay, we'll do Christmas around the world. So there was a very good secondary character, that chef dude. He seemed like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And he's the one, she goes to the library, does a lot of research. Oh, we've got to have a Bûche de Noël and a this and a that, right? All these things.
The foods from around the world.
Right. And then he's like, we have guests from around the world. Why don't you talk to them about what is exciting about, like, what's their favorite thing about their culture? And she finds out things like the most popular dinner in Japan is fried chicken.
That's why I love Japan.
So she talks to them all and gets, you know, their input.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, Dylan's asking the parents, usually we come in and buy these places when it's not doing well.
Right.
And they're like, no, we're just out. And then meanwhile, the brother's like, we're going to level it. And he's like fallen in love with it. He likes it. And it's like 30 acres and he can't believe it.
Right.
And so he's like trying to figure out how they can kind of save Coyote Creek Inn and incorporate it into the new plans. Yeah. But his brother's like, no, we're just going to bulldoze it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the thing is, I got to jump in with a couple of things.
Okay.
Meanwhile, she's running around with this dude and his annoying kid. Whoever wrote the dialogue for a kid, for this kid, does not know how to write dialogue for kids.
Well, but I thought they were trying to make him precocious.
Yeah, but they made him too precocious. There's no way a kid's going to lay out a line.
Effective or what?
No. You've been highly, or.
I don't know.
When he insults his father in the car.
You've been a complete
and utter buffoon.
Yes. No, but the whole thing is that he has a word a day thing.
I understand that. But a kid is still not going to bust out lines like this kid is. I understand precocious kids, but you don't have to make them annoying.
He was really annoying. He was annoying. Okay, so
Asriel Dahlman is his name.
Asriel.
I even hate his name.
Why? Asriel's a nice name.
Well, it was. What's the matter, Pete? Pete's not good enough anymore.
Come on, as a name
for a kid.
Stop.
Jason. Jason. Would you stop playing with the dog?
The dog was demanding my attention. Should I put the dog down?
Yeah. So go on. You know,
okay. So there's something about her. But the front desk woman is her friend from way back.
Yeah.
And there's that whole subplot about her having a crush on the performer.
Right.
And man,
they have a folk singer type.
Yeah. Who's like playing Christmas carols all the time, like on a on a guitar.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, my God.
I did not enjoy that. I wonder if I would have liked it if I were there, but there was something about it.
You didn't like the music?
I didn't like it. No. So, yeah. So this one kind of like there was. OK, so
you meant the music. Not the subplot.
The subplot's fine.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Like, it's like, but now I feel like they have to have a lesbian subplot in a lot of these things, right? Because there was Christmas with the Darlings. That was another lesbian subplot.
Right.
You know, oh, the friend who's, you know, telling her, oh, you gotta, you know, follow your heart or whatever.
Just trying to spice it up.
I know. I know. And lesbians will do that.
Well, wait a minute. Okay.
I'm just saying it's becoming another trope. Like, I'm going to expect now. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I'm not against it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And it's fine with me if they have their minor characters falling in love with whomever they would like to. But I'm just saying that it's it's just, come on. But I'm not that interested in those two characters is my real complaint. Let me get to the bottom of it. I'm actually not interested in any of these characters. And I found it. I'm just going to skip. I guess we should go. I think I'm going to complain about it because that's what leads to the end. Right.
Yeah.
But my complaint is I find it in all these other movies, which is fine if it's different. The family wants to keep the inn in the family.
Yeah.
And this is something that was run by this guy's grandmother and his mother. And now he's just going to sell it without talking to his daughter.
Right.
And
the thing is, it's not like he's selling a worthless business, because as Ryan Peavy points out.
Right. It's doing well in improving, increasing.
Your profits have increased over, year after year, and there's no reason to expect it not to, blah, blah, blah. You know, this is just to completely not tell her that we're going to sell it out from under you, a successful business.
Right. So then she works up all this courage to talk to them.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, hey, I'll consider taking over the inn. And they're all like, and they still don't tell her.
Right.
They get interrupted. And then Ryan Peavy is like not saying anything because he's been sworn to secrecy. Mm-hmm. And she picks up a phone call from the brother.
Yeah.
That's like the jig is up. She knows what's happening. And like, she's mad at him.
Yeah.
She's mad at him because she feels manipulated or duped or whatever. But she should be mad at her parents, not the guy. He didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. His parents told him not to tell. It wasn't my place to tell you.
Right. And here's a level of responsibility. Why didn't they want to tell her?
Yeah.
Like, she should look at herself. Why would my parents not want to tell me? Like, what kind of a brat am I?
You're turning around right on it.
That's right. I'm just saying that would never happen.
What
in the
is it about yourself that is the reason why they're afraid to tell you?
Exactly. But still, I also don't understand why the parents wouldn't have that conversation with her.
Yeah.
And then she's like, and so the resolution.
And I don't buy this. They were going to tell her it interrupted.
Oh, yeah.
Know, when they were saying, she says, oh, I'll be, we'll talk about this later, or I'll be right back. And then she.
And then she goes away.
She goes away. They can't go, oh, wait a minute. No.
Right. Right.
We need to tell you. We're selling the place to that dude.
To that dude. Yeah. So then it works out at the end that.
But she's all pissed off, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I can see she's mad that they didn't tell her.
Right.
But the fact is, why shouldn't they be able to sell their business? Because they plan on traveling all around the world.
Right.
They're going to need money to travel all around the world and still, you know,
right,
maintain a proper, you know, expected lifestyle.
Right.
So letting her run the business doesn't afford them that.
Right. Yeah. They're like, this is our cash cow. This is our retirement. This is, I guess they haven't been saving in a 401k or whatever, right?
But maybe they have. But
the point is, they need the money to fulfill on their dreams.
Yeah.
She's very, she is very self-centered. So she says, oh, okay, I'll do you this huge favor and I'll consider running your business.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Like, there wasn't enough of a background of expectation or whatever. Like, in Let It Snow, there is like the clear, you know, I don't know how to say that, exposition, that the brother is in Australia, so he's not going to take it over.
Right.
And that the parents wanted their kids to take it over and the kids didn't want to.
Right.
Right. And then they had to sell.
Yep.
So that's clear. This is like more like they just need the money and they're going to sell it and it doesn't matter what she wants. And maybe that's appropriate, but it's also a little weird that in a family business that's been handed down generation by generation that's successful, they wouldn't have approached her and said, hey, this is, you know, what are you thinking? What are we, you know, this is what we want. What are you thinking? You know, or... Yeah, I don't know.
Or when they first decided to call her up and say, we are considering selling the inn. We want, you know.
We want you to come home for Christmas.
Yeah, we want to talk to you and, you know,
right,
discuss it.
Yeah.
As any normal people would do, not Hallmark people.
Right.
Hallmark people don't communicate well with each other.
No, because otherwise there wouldn't be conflict. But then don't they all learn about the sale like through word of mouth? They don't even, it's like the inn owner, like you were saying, aren't these people concerned about losing their job?
Yeah.
They're all walking around like they aren't going to lose their job.
Yeah, they're all worried about her.
Yeah. I'd be worried about me. I've worked here for, one of the people does say, I've worked here for 20 years. I don't know what I'm going to do. Right. But like the next sentence is, but I'm worried about you or what? Do you know what I mean? And then that's when they confront her, quote unquote, and say, you know, you're doing this Christmas around the world, but there's no Coyote Creek in this Christmas party. And I just thought, she came home. She's doing her job for her vacation.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, you aren't doing it right. I'm just like, oh, my God, critics. So then in the end, they are still going to sell the.
Yes, but
they're going to they're implementing the changes that Dylan suggests. To incorporate.
Dylan proves that it's going to make a lot of, make a lot of money.
Right. Basically the Let It Snow thing, right? We're going to take what's here and we're going to build on it.
Yeah.
Right. And then she's going to manage it.
Right.
And he is going to, be close by.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's also in Denver. Maybe that firm, like he travels and stuff. And he had to confront why he doesn't want to be around for Christmas and stuff like that. But yeah, not a lot of meat that I wanted to chew on this one.
Right. And the thing I hated most beside the kid.
Yeah.
Is, and I hated that kid a lot. That comment when she talks to her parents and she's walking out and they say, oh, don't be too hard on Dylan.
Right.
And she turns around and goes, why not?
Yeah.
And walks off. I'm going, yeah, like, screw you. Yeah, because
she's a brat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
so we hated it. Yeah.
Because I hated the lead character so much.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Ryan Pavey, I don't hate him.
He's just kind of blah. He's kind of
wallpaper.
Yeah. They didn't have a tremendous amount of chemistry.
No.
And it's another one where they put the kid, you know, the family first.
Yeah.
Right? I don't understand how, like, there's got to be some chemistry between the people. Yeah. It can't just be like, oh, we'll just make a great family.
Yeah, but I hated her character.
Yeah.
And I hated the kid. So out of the three, I didn't like two of them.
Yeah. So, now I'm with the parents. Get out of there. Yeah,
exactly. Sell that thing.
Travel to the Maldives, baby. Yep. So. Okay, so I give it like 1.5.
1.5. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
1.5. I'm sure we're going to see worse. Actually, we have. So, yeah, 1.5, because the acting itself wasn't terrible, except for the kid.
Yeah.
I like that. I've seen that dad before. I've seen him in some other things. So he was fine.
Yeah.
It was cute, you know, to have like Charlotte the Marmot and. Do you know what I mean? There were some cute things about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's definitely a delete from the
yes, absolutely. The old
DVR.
Absolutely. I 1.5 and it is absolutely a delete.
Right. And now we roll into the nadir of the trio, the Christmas in Harmony.
I'm going to ask you a question right now that's embarrassing.
What does nadir mean?
Exactly.
The lowest point.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm just channeling that kid.
Christmas in Harmony. Harmony is tricked into auditioning for the holiday chorus, directed by an ex-boyfriend. Christmas Eve, they could be harmonizing in the key of love.
Oh no.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Oh, even that was terrible.
I know.
Plus, it's not exactly accurate.
It isn't?
Well, because aren't they co-directing it?
That's right.
And did she get tricked into auditioning, or did he just like say, why don't you sing it?
Yeah. No, he had her.
Because she. He
tricked her into singing.
Oh,
not yeah. auditioning.
Right, you know, but singing.
Because
he was like, how exactly do you want that?
Yeah.
Why don't you show us? Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
We aren't going to talk very much about this.
So this starred Ashley Murray, Luke James, Basil Wallace, Michelle Williams, and Loretta Devine.
And I'm sure.
Excuse me.
I'm sure we're supposed to know at least four of those.
Right. So basically, she works for a record company.
Yeah.
She's a record producer. Work for the company, engineered some merger.
Yeah. And then got
fired.
Yeah. Instead of a promotion that she was expecting. Her friend seems to think she was robbed.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So she goes home and they basically ask her because the choir director got a bum leg or something.
Yeah, something happened and said, oh, can you direct this
choir this year for the, you know, big performance? And she says, oh, okay, you twisted my arm. And. And then she shows up and it turns out that her ex-boyfriend
was also asked
to direct. So the bishop and everybody, or the pastor, they all have a confab, and they decide the solution is co-directors.
That's right. Because her mom or whatever. Is that her mom or her aunt? It's her mom?
Was it her mom?
Or, I don't know. She, directs the whole place. You know,
yeah.
Everybody comes to her and says, what do we do about X? And she tells mm-hmm. everyone. So, yeah. So, basically, she doesn't want to sing. You don't really know why she doesn't want to sing until the very end.
Right.
When she admits that she tried and tried and tried and just said, I got the message.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm just not a good singer because I never had any success. And that she joined that record company thinking that she'd pull a Lady Gaga or whatever. Oh, I'll work in the mailroom.
Yeah.
And I'll be able to slip my audition tape in there mm-hmm. or whatever. And I'll be discovered.
Right.
And she works her way up to no avail, as we know. And then she had this woman, Melody, right, who was her big, the woman that she found and signed.
Yeah, exactly.
To that record company. And Melody is going to come and do the solo at the Christmas concert.
Yeah.
But as we said, the ex-boyfriend kind of tricks her. He's kind of saying the whole time, why don't you sing this? What, how come you don't sing or whatever? And then at the very last minute, that woman's plane is delayed or she's stuck in traffic or whatever.
Right.
And she has to sing it, and it brings down the house. Brings down the house. And Melody shows up and sings too.
Right. And the previously, Melody threatened the record company and said, you better get her back.
Yeah. Yeah. But then instead, I think it ends up that she's going to start her own label. She doesn't need them.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, it's all kind of magical.
Mm-hmm.
Magical thinking.
I hated this.
It was very hard to watch.
Oh, man. It was a pain to watch.
Oh,
The leads were terrible.
It was not good. It was just not good. And I did not get the interest, the love interest at all.
Yeah.
And this was another thing of if someone keeps asking you to sing and it's not for a record deal, it's just, right? You were probably the best singer in that choir.
Yeah.
Who went off.
Exactly.
To be discovered.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you come back and be the best person in that choir? What?
Exactly.
Except that she wanted the star power of Melody to I think it was going to help their charity or whatever.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah. So I just found it was very contrived. She must have,
just because she didn't get a record contract doesn't mean she stopped thinking she could sing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Nope. So she rediscovers her passion for singing. And that's kind of what's important. And she rekindles the romance with the ex-boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But so what? So I got nothing more to say.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I can give it one star.
Yeah. Of the three, this was absolutely the nadir.
It was definitely my least favorite. And okay, I'll give it, do I give it a half a star or a star? I want to give it a star because I'm assuming that these people are really real singers.
Yeah.
And that's why the acting was not great. And I want to appreciate that about them. That's what they were really there for. So I'll give it a star.
I'll give it a one as well.
Yeah. And delete with extreme prejudice.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Don't bring that back.
Yes.
So now we're sailing into the best one, in my opinion.
The Christmas sale or just Christmas sale.
It's Christmas sale.
Because you see, it's a play on words, you see.
It is. Just like the name of the boat. My Darling Mary. Exactly. For Mary Darling. Yep.
When Liz returns home to take care of her estranged father, she is determined to give her daughter a perfect Christmas and reconnects with her best friend. Starring Katie Sackhoff, Patrick Sabangui. S-A-B-O-N-G-U-I.
Sabangui?
Sabangui.
Okay. I don't know.
And Terry O'Quinn.
Okay.
Who plays the daddy.
Right. I don't know where to start. Okay. So Terry O'Quinn, we know most recently from rewatching every season of Alias.
Yes. He was in Alias. He was in Lost.
Oh, right.
He was in a lot of movies, including The Rocket, one of my favorites, The Rocketeer.
Mm-hmm.
He played Howard Hughes in that one.
Right.
And so he's been around.
He's been around, and he plays a very curmudgeonly, kind of taciturn old guy.
Codger.
Yeah. And he plays chess once a week with Luke, who is Liz's best friend all the way through high school. And they went to college together, but he had to come back when his dad got sick and he never went back to school. So they went their separate ways as a result of that. And then when she did come back, she had her boyfriend and Kevin or whatever. And eventually she married him and she had a daughter, Hannah. And now they're divorced and she's in Seattle, completely on her own, basically. Right. Very estranged from her father.
Right. And she's waiting for some insurance settlement.
Yeah. So she's living in a hotel because her house burned down, I guess. And she's waiting for the insurance money to come so she can rebuild it.
Right.
But in the meantime, they're in this hotel and that's what they're going to do for Christmas until this very small, close-knit community, one of the friends, one of her childhood, this is Mrs. whatever, the baker.
Yeah.
Right? She's good friends with the dad, and she calls up Liz and says, your dad, he hurt himself saving a little girl from getting...
Yes, he saved her.
Smushed by a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And he hurt his arm and wrist while he was doing that. Yeah. So that woman said, you got to come home and help him. And Liz comes home and she's like, I'm here until you get back on your feet. He's like, I'm on my feet.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like, I don't know why you're here. And she's like, but I came all this way. And she had stopped coming home for Christmas because their mom had made such a big deal. Her mom and his wife had made such a big deal about Christmas. She really made it special. And when she died, he was just so sad or whatever. He felt like we can't do that without her anymore. So Christmas died.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, I don't come here because there's no Christmas in the house. And now I've brought my daughter, Hannah, and she loves Christmas. And you better not kill Christmas for her, too. And he's like, oh, all right. And so eventually he warms up. So he does more Christmassy things. He really gets to know Hannah. And meanwhile, she finds out, number one, that the boat that they used to sail on all the time, because this is one of these islands near Seattle. The boat that she thought her father had sold is in the marina, just in bad shape, and that he's about to lose his house. So I don't understand what is going on with these people, because they don't talk about anything. And I guess he doesn't want to bother her. He doesn't want her help, And then she's like, I'm not going to get the insurance money to save the house. And she enters the boat parade.
Right.
Because there's a 25 grand purse if you win.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, I hope we win. Because they used to win a lot when they were younger because the mom was such a great decorator.
Right.
And by the way, she decorates for a living and she's all insecure about her ability to decorate.
You know.
What do I know?
She may have that complex where she feels she's not as good as her
imposter syndrome. Yeah, she has imposter syndrome. Yeah. So the guy, Sebastian, what? No, Sabagui.
Yeah.
That guy. What's his first name?
Patrick.
Patrick. We've seen him before in All of My Heart.
Yes.
And
he's the friend in All of My Heart.
The trilogy. Yeah.
Yeah.
The friend to, I don't know his name. We call him Warren because that was his character on Cedar Cove.
Yeah.
But he was the friend who gives Warren a job and gets him back into Wall Street, et cetera. And develops a little interest in that woman who owns the bakery.
Yes.
Yes. So
also, we've seen him in The Flash.
Yes.
Yeah, he was the police chief.
That's right.
For a number of seasons on The Flash. And Katie Sackhoff, of course, played Starbuck in the reboot of Battlestar Galactica.
This one?
Yes.
Oh.
That's Katie Sackhoff.
Oh.
That's Starbuck.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
The original Starbuck is Trisha Helfer or whatever?
No. Oh. The original Starbuck was a guy.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
And that was in the 70s.
Right.
Battlestar Galactica.
Right.
Well,
the reboot.
The reboot, Starbuck is played by Katie Sackhoff.
So what am I thinking of?
Same thing. Trisha Helfer played a Cylon.
Oh, okay. All right. They've had a lot of people from Battlestar Galactica in movies.
What's his face?
Paul Hogan? Campbell?
Paul Campbell.
Right.
Hogan. That's a Crocodile Dundee.
No, but Paul Campbell, but then Gabriel Hogan.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, Gabriel Hogan, his father was in Battlestar Galactica.
Okay. I knew there was a connection.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, anyway. Okay,
a lot of Battlestar Galactica connections.
Yes. Anyway, so she was Starbuck in the reboot. Okay.
Right.
Got it.
And she was on The Mandalorian in the second season of Mandalorian.
Oh.
She's
I don't remember that.
Like the leader of one sect of the Mandalorians?
Oh, that was her.
That was her, yes.
Oh, got it.
The one that was after that black lightsaber. Yeah, so I'm sorry.
That's right.
Nerd is showing on this one.
That's all right. No, so great, I have to say, great acting, great cast. The kid again, you know, didn't deliver some of the lines right. In the way that they should have been delivered, but it wasn't as annoying. It wasn't annoying like the other kid.
Yeah.
That was fine.
Plus, when you say they're all great actors, you can see it because the way Terry O'Quinn plays that grumpy father, he doesn't overdo it.
Right.
Like he's not. You know, people who play grumpy people, everything. I don't, you know, there's never a soft moment.
Right.
And he played it where, you know, he was nice and considerate to his granddaughter and stuff like that. But when certain things were brought up, he shut down.
Right.
And stuff like that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. It was really good.
It was, he played it well.
Yeah. Yep. And when she finally talks to him about, you know, why did you stop Christmas? You know, how I was crying, like a full on crying in that scene. I didn't delete it because I felt like, you know, I'm not sure I want to really watch it again. I'm not sure I'm convinced about the love story, etc. But that scene with the two of them was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, you know, probably the best scene. I mean, easily the best scene of the three that we watched. So they decide to go to a dance, and it's one of these, my least favorite. Now I'm starting to have a new least favorite. I don't know if it's a trope.
Yeah.
They go to this Christmas ball, and she's really excited because they've now admitted that they had a crush on each other.
Right.
Right? And it didn't you know, when he didn't come back to college, et cetera, it fizzled out and he never told her. So they're dancing and she's like, what would you have told me if you had asked me to dance as kids?
Right.
And he said, I would have said, I'm in love with you. And I always have been. I always will. And like, she is elated. And then she's immediately, I live in Seattle. This isn't going to work.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what if you really love someone, wouldn't you be trying to strategize? But that's the thing that I don't get, that I know a lot of people are scared.
Right.
And I feel like if you're really in love with someone, I would hope that would help to overcome some of that being scared. Mm-hmm. But she immediately went and like shut it down.
Yeah.
And it was so sad. It was so sad that she did that. And then he says, he comes up with his way. He's like, okay, I'm not giving up. He talks to his mom. His mom is just like, you've done your duty. You're a good son.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, like, I don't need you
to stay here and, you know, sacrifice your happiness. So, and he's got like a portable job, right? He's a contractor. He could do that anywhere. So good for him that he's got like mobility that he could do.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just, it was very much like, that was disappointing. So he then says, okay, I'm not giving up. After he talks to his mom, I'm not giving up. And he goes to the father, mm-hmm. Terry O'Quinn, played by Terry O'Quinn, and says, I'm in love with your daughter. And he's like, okay, what are you going to do about it? And he, what? He's like, he doesn't think that everybody on that island knows that he's in love with her, right? So he comes up with a fantastic idea that's really going to make the sale, Christmas sale parade, like that's going to clinch it.
Yeah.
And so they go, their decoration was really cool too, right? They had like the lights strung from the mast or whatever, it made it look like a tree or whatever. They had presents underneath. It was gorgeous. And then her father starts to put up the sail, which before was discolored and ripped and everything.
Right.
And she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, what I'm told. And he puts it up and they've rigged up a way to project family photos. And so like even the judge, like tear in his eye, right? Like the pictures of her mom and them when they were kids. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know. I forget his name now. Luke. Luke had found a 35 millimeter camera or whatever while they were cleaning up. And there was still some film in it. And he took pictures of them, including a selfie. And those were some of the pictures that were up on the sale.
Right.
Like them as a family, kind of like, you know. And they won. Yay! Yep.
And which saves the house.
Saves the house.
Yeah, we forgot to say the prize money.
Right.
Was $25,000.
Well, I did say that.
Oh, you did? It went by me.
Because, that's all right. Well, because I was also talking about how, like, at one point, and I think I stopped saying it, I was going to talk about how she thought she might be able to use her own insurance money to save the house. But then it wasn't going to come in time.
Yeah.
So she was upset about that. And that put more pressure on that they had to like do this or else what was her dad going to do? But he was very sanguine about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll find another place to live. Like, but I'm really, he does like a 180, right?
Yeah.
That it helps that Hannah is with him, et cetera. He even puts on that elf hat at one point, which you think he's never going to do because he's so serious.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're just kind of like, wait, this is where you live. You've lived all your life. He just went into this tailspin when his wife died and never went back to his job.
Yeah.
So had no money, but then didn't even tell his daughter, like, look, I'm having trouble here, which I also understand. A lot of parents don't want to burden their kids with their problems.
Right.
And he, I don't know. He was like, he needed a counselor or whatever. He was depressed, man.
Yep.
But yeah. Anyway, that was,
Let me say some of the things I found like really goofy about this thing. One is $25,000 for boat parade?
Yeah, because they thought it would increase tourism, but then they only show three boats.
Yeah, I know.
And were there more tourists there? I don't know. We can't tell.
Didn't seem like a lot of people. Didn't seem like a lot of boats.
Right. And I felt like that judge, if he was crying or whatever, was like not an impartial judge.
Yeah.
And that's like, you have a bias right there for for a $25,000 prize. That's huge.
And the other thing I want to bring up is his creepy obsession with her.
Oh, Luke?
Luke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they have this conversation where he knows like everything about her.
Right. Because he had a crush on her.
Right. I understand that. But you don't find that creepy that he knew all that information about her?
No, because I was like a collector of information in high school. So I know you can amass a lot of information, and they were best friends. So I'm not surprised he knows her favorite color is purple and her favorite ice cream is X or, you know, whatever.
Right.
But to then have picked up on like, oh, that she had that crush on her teacher.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Because she says,
I have a problem with his character anyway.
Favorite crush, and he says, oh, Mr. Belding or whatever the guy's name.
Yeah, Mr. Rigby or whatever.
Yeah, the dude. And she goes, oh, I didn't tell anyone that. That was like the cherry on the creepy top for me.
I didn't have as much of a problem with that. I just felt that the whole thing was like, he was so, I don't know how he was acting when she got there, when it was like, he didn't want to help her. I got my life.
Yeah.
You know, even though he's like living in a boat right next door to her boat, right? Uh-huh. Like, I kind of didn't get that. Was he just trying to protect himself, or was he mad at her? Why was he being all standoffish in the beginning?
I don't know.
I don't get it. And again, not a lot of chemistry between those two. So I don't know if I would say what's his face attained leading man status. He was a great friend and boss, but he was like a good character actor in those, you know, All of My Heart.
Yeah.
Things.
Exactly.
Whereas this, I don't know. I didn't get a lot of that character.
And the third thing.
Yes. What?
Is I want a job. I should go into contracting.
Yeah.
Because I want a job where I can just spend time with another person every day.
Well, yeah. But that's why that guy, the bad boss from Christmas Wish.
Yeah.
Not Paul Green, but the guy who stole
bad manager.
Lacey Chabert's work. Yeah. And claimed it as his own.
No, I understand. He's, oh, yeah, we got it handled and all that. But still, to not be there for that many days.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what jobs he's working.
Exactly.
They must be very simple jobs.
This movie was written by Robin Gadsby.
Who's that?
Who's that, you say? That's Katie Sackhoff's husband.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So he wrote a vehicle for his wife.
Exactly. On the Hallmark Channel.
Wow. I guess I need some cash. That's double dipping. I don't know, man. That's funny.
Yep.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know, man. Well, at least they have boats in it, I guess. The scenery was gorgeous. Terry O'Quinn was fantastic. Katie Sackhoff was great.
Yep.
Even this guy was okay. Like, he wasn't a bad actor. I just think maybe Robin didn't put his heart and soul into it.
Yeah.
Writing a male lead for his wife.
Yes.
I'm going to have one where there's almost no chemistry.
Yeah.
And they get close and she submarines it. And I don't even remember their first kiss. It's forgettable.
Yeah, that's right. I don't remember when they was at the very end.
It had to have been. It wasn't. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't during the dance.
Right. Yeah. Was at the. It was at the very end.
When, right. When, oh, it was. The, oh, it was on the off. Boat. Yeah. No, no, it was on the boat.
Oh yeah.
They kissed. They kissed before was it they on won. The boat? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they kissed in front of the whole town, under the pictures that were being projected on the sail.
Oh.
And so everybody was happy. All the ladies.
Again. Nothing, but it has nothing to do with the decoration. Nothing to do with the look of the boat. They should not have given them points because they're, you know, they missed their friend or.
Right.
They think something sweet.
Right. So he decides that he is going to take his contracting gig on the road. And she's like, oh, well, you know, we're going to come visit more often. So maybe our paths are going to cross. So hopefully that's leading somewhere.
Right.
But that's all I got.
Christmas sale two.
Christmas sale two. But the dad almost lost the house and they restored the boat. What else is there? Charlotte the Marmot comes.
No, I'm telling you. They shouldn't... They should think franchise.
They should.
With Christmas sale.
Yeah. Well, with Terry O'Quinn. Maybe Terry O'Quinn gets it on with the baker.
Well.
In the second
he
one.
He was very sweet with the baker. They were sweet on each other. They
definitely have a connection there.
Yeah.
They had more chemistry than Starbuck and Warren's boss.
Wow.
That's a whole mixture
that referenced a lot of things, including like three different Hallmark properties, I believe, in that sentence.
Cedar Cove, All of My Heart, in Love, or whatever. And then, just those three.
It was just
and those. And then Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, Battlestar. Yeah. Okay.
It's three. Not a Hallmark property.
Two. Well, three properties.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah.
I win.
You win. You're right. Do you want to
I'll go first. I like this movie.
Yeah.
For all the reasons you mentioned, I thought, not because I like Katie Sackhoff that I'm partial to it, but I thought it was fairly well written.
Uh-huh.
You know, there was no situations where I went, come on, like that. You know, right. It's like.
Yeah.
And. Almost every Hallmark movie has that moment for me where it's like.
Well, even this insurance thing, there's that house in our neighborhood that we're waiting for. It's taken like a year.
Yeah.
It's still, and they just now have the Tyvek on the house, right? Yeah. So I understand that, like, oh, the money's not going to be here in time. Yeah. I totally get that. That's totally believable. Mm-hmm. And even the dad not telling her, as much as I'm like down on it,
right.
It is totally believable because so many parents don't want to involve their kids in their finances.
Yeah.
Especially if they aren't very close or they think, oh, they're fine where they are. I don't want to, or even she lost her house to the fire or whatever. Yeah. He doesn't want to burden her with his problems.
Yeah.
But he really does need a counselor.
Yep. So, like I said, I like this movie.
Yep.
Not just because I like it. Starbucks in it.
Yeah. Right.
But she gets extra points for being Starbucks. And, you know, I thought the acting was very good. And the writing was good. Mm-hmm. Terry O'Quinn, like you said.
Fantastic.
A great performance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know. It was sweet at the end, but not saccharine sweet.
Right.
And
so, it made me cry.
And that's right. It triggered emotions.
That's right.
So I would give this four.
Yep.
A solid four.
Yeah.
And a keep, definitely.
Yeah. I have to agree with you. I'm trying to think if I would bump it up to 4.5. Nah. I would have to have a little more chemistry between the two of them. And a little less creep factor.
Yeah.
to go to a 4.5. So I'll agree with you. 4 and keep. Because, I already did keep it. Mm-hmm. Even though we're like running out of room on the DVR. But I thought, well, maybe I'll watch it one more time. Like if it's on, I would like to watch it commercial free. So
right.
keep it around as long as I can. But now that we're rolling into this like seven nights of new movies, it may have to go. But I think we should talk a little bit. Should we talk a little bit about
what?
Any of the older ones that we've been watching that you like rewatched and we finally got like Mistletoe Inn back. Thank goodness. It was awesome. And, and then I watched Fur Crazy yesterday with, Sarah,
which you accused me of not liking.
I thought you told me you didn't like it.
You like it. I could not remember the plot.
Oh yeah. It's just a little dark.
Right.
And then I noticed something.
What?
I don't know if it was on any of these three, but I've been rewatching a couple of them, right? Crazy's one of them, where she goes home to her childhood home where her parents still live, and she knocks on the door. Why wouldn't you just walk right in? Like, I would never knock on the door of my parents' house that I grew up in.
Right.
I would always just walk in.
Okay.
So I've noticed that like older children go home and they knock on the door, which because I find really interesting.
Unlike you, they were taught manners.
I don't know. It was my house. I don't know. Yeah, I guess they might walk in on the parents doing something in the kitchen. I don't know. Just saying. Anyway, so I noticed that. Anyways, so I've been watching a lot of the old ones and it's been fun. Like Mistletoe Inn, Christmas List, Fur Crazy, although I fell asleep, which I needed a nap. So that was good. I like
Mistletoe Inn.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, it was good.
One of my favorites.
Yep. So anyway, so it's been pretty good so far. Countdown to Christmas. I've been enjoying it. And yesterday I watched Holiday for Heroes. Christmas
Under Wraps.
Christmas Under Wraps.
That's another one I watched recently.
Yep. I finished, so Holiday for Heroes was on yesterday, and then today I watched one, now I can't remember what it is, I'm blanking on it.
Wow.
But I really liked it. The Woman Was Blonde. It's coming to me.
Yes, they were getting married at the end.
Oh, right.
She was the one from The One with the Dog.
Yes, the military one with the dog.
With the dog. Well,
yeah, where she gave with the judge and the dog, not the like Love and Sunshine with Danica McKellar and the smiley guy. So it was not Moonlight and Mistletoe, or maybe it was something like that.
Yeah.
Where William Shatner is the guy and she time travels 3 years into the future.
Right.
And, her fiance had asked her to.
So you like that one?
I like to watch it every once in a while, but I wouldn't keep it.
I saw you miming William Shatner stroking his big fake beard.
Yeah, exactly. That's his move. Yeah. So anyway, that was good. Well, I kind of like the time travel ones because it gives you like another dimension to think about, like. You know, what changes is she going to affect when she goes back? And of course, I've already seen it, but like knowing that her mom was like, she got up too fast, she got dizzy. And then she finds out, oh, her mom had like a heart operate. She had a heart attack and they fixed it. But yeah, it was definitely one of these things that it was interesting to watch again. It was good.
If you're hearing background noises, those are our puppies.
They want to go outside. So I guess we'll wrap this up.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think all in all, two thumbs up for Countdown to Christmas. I'm loving the Christmas spirit and I don't mind that it's early. Bring it on. Yep.
So once again, damshow.co is where you can find back episodes and also our other fine podcasts.
Yep. And you can send us an email telling us what you think of the movies at marksthespotmail@gmail.com. That's right. And until then, enjoy. Enjoy watching all these Christmas movies.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. The puppies say Merry Christmas.